Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What's going on? Happy Thanksgiving to you wherever you happen to be across these United States or perhaps otherwise. It is the Outkick to Coverage radio program. It's Thanksgiving Day. It means Clay and the crew are out today. And I'm back in the saddle. I haven't been here in a while, as a matter of fact, but good to be here. Glad to be here with you on this Thanksgiving morning. Jason Martin, Jeff Schwartz will join me here momentarily. And we have filled in on this show now for years, and we've done this Thanksgiving show at least 3 years in a row, and I continue to believe it's a true blessing any chance I get an opportunity to speak to any of you across the country. Now doing a daily show on WGFX, which is a Fox Sports Radio affiliate right here in Nashville, Tennessee, where Clay and I both live, as a matter of fact, as does Jason Whitlock, and probably half the Outkick team before the end of this sentence, but we hope your Thanksgiving, if you're up already frying turkey or smoking turkey or doing something to get the turkey ready for the four people that you're allowed legally to have near it later on today, that you've chosen to join us because we're going to have fun. We're going to talk a lot of football on this show. We are certainly going to discuss the game that's not taking place, which, let's just be real, that's a bit of a bummer, is it not? That was the one game we were all excited about today, and it's not going to happen because the Ravens had an outbreak, which they found out about. I don't know how soon they knew what was going on, but there's a staffer that's been disciplined here. There's a lot that's going on surrounding that story. And really, this was such a fascinating game because, well, if the Ravens lose, they're pretty much done in terms of the division. And the question marks are not going to stop, and the questions are not going to stop being asked about Lamar Jackson. We are brought to you by Geico. Fox Sports Radio Studios, always brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. You can find this show on Twitter and the brand at Outkick. You can find me at JMart Radio. Jeff will join me here in a second. You can find him at Jeff Schwartz. So Ravens Steelers was going to be the nightcap tonight. It was the one that we were all waiting for, really. Although there is the intrigue of Washington football team and Dallas, because those teams were all so bad that every game counts in terms of being able to win the division. Nobody's coming out of there with a wild card. But the worst team that we've ever seen come out of a division may be coming out of that division and hosting a playoff game because of the ridiculousness that surrounds the way teams are picked for the postseason. Usually I don't have too big of an issue with it, but if you've got a 5-win team going and you've got a 10-win team in the AFC, for example, that doesn't go, we might need to address that. Or if you have an entire division like the NFC West, where you could argue three of those teams absolutely should go and hopefully will, but one spot's going to be taken up from a team that certainly played better football than your team did if you're a team in the NFC East. But, again, at least those games matter. Like, that game's intriguing, if for no other reason than one of those teams out of that division, that awful, brutal, horrific division, is actually going to get to the playoffs. As 2020 as it can get, big-name franchises like the Giants, Eagles, Washington football team, and, of course, the Cowboys, somebody's going to the playoffs out of that group. But it was all about Ravens-Steelers today. And Pittsburgh's undefeated, but I actually think the respect factor for them's a little bit down. I think the Chiefs, and they've been in the atop my power rankings for pretty much the whole season. I picked them to win the Super Bowl before this thing even started, as did many of you listening. The Chiefs are the bar. And it's not because they won last year. It's because nothing's changed in my mind about the kind of team that they are. In fact, they've gotten a little bit better. That offense firing a little bit better. They've added another weapon with CEH. And then defensively, they're a big play defense that has kind of built itself on maybe down to down, they're not going to match up with the top units in the league. But when they need to make a play, somebody usually is there to make one, whether it's the Honey Badger or whether or not it is Frank Clark or Chris Jones. Somebody is there to make a play for them when they have to, and oftentimes it's a turnover play, and it puts them in the driver's seat. You have an aging quarterback in Pittsburgh in Ben Roethlisberger, who no one is talking about, despite the fact that he has, I think, 25 touchdowns and 5 interceptions on the season. And he's got a lot of weapons around him, whether it's Juju, whether it's Deontay Johnson, whether it's Chase Claypool. Run game's kind of a secondary unit, but Connor can certainly play. They've got a solid offensive line. Their defense could be the best in football. They may have the defensive player of the year, TJ Watt, on that defense. They're rolling, and I think a lot of people, me included, see them as 1B to Kansas City's 1A, or even 1-2. And then you've got the Ravens, and that's the story that Jeff and I are going to spend a good bit of time talking about here, especially in this first hour of the show, is what are the Baltimore Ravens? This was going to be an even bigger talking point because tonight we were potentially going to see the end of all of this, or we were going to see a reprieve. Ravens Steelers is always a good game regardless, and you would assume it was going to be tonight. But the question marks are out there about Lamar Jackson. The voices that kind of got quiet last year when he was having an MVP season have reemerged. They're not quite as loud right now because we're all just sort of in a holding pattern trying to see if Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, more so than just Lamar, it's really not as much about him to me as it is about Greg Roman, the play caller in Baltimore, who has been lauded and talked so highly about for years, dating back to not even just Andrew Luck, but certainly Colin Kaepernick and Tyrod Taylor and the way in which he has set up offenses. But what we've never seen from Greg Roman is a second act. We've never seen the adjustment when you're figured out. When things aren't going right, you have to do something different, or things are going to continue not to go right. Doesn't mean that you won't get a win here and there. And this team, we talk about them almost like they're dead in the water, and they're really not. But this could be a 5-loss team the next time they play. Was going to be tonight, now it's going to be Sunday. But I think it's still maybe the most intriguing question that we're going to get an answer to by the end of the weekend is, okay, is Baltimore a thing, or is Baltimore no longer a thing? Is this something that can work long term? Eventually, you're going to have to pay Lamar Jackson. Are you going to commit to paying what you're going to pay to have Lamar Jackson if you can't construct a new offense that's going to suit him? Or if you're going to get weapons that are going to suit him? They've got receiving talent, but they certainly don't have an alpha dog. And one thing I've increasingly realized in the last couple of years watching the NFL is if you don't have a number one dynamic level wide receiver to go with your quarterback, then you end up with 3 or 4 wins 11 or 12 weeks into the season. Now, that's not Baltimore's case. That's me talking about a team that is going to play today, the Houston Texans. Deshaun Watson having maybe the best season of his career, near MVP level, one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the league, but they got rid of DeAndre Hopkins and they have 3 wins, 2 of which are against the Jacksonville Jaguars. What more do you need to say here? Think about the difference and how you felt about the Buffalo Bills at this time last year and how you feel about the Buffalo Bills this year with Stephon Diggs. And look at the Cardinals. As good as Kyler is, as much as we like Kyler, what's the difference? It's DeAndre Hopkins. If you have a top-flight wide receiver, it doesn't mean you're instantly going to be successful, but it changes things, doesn't it? Look at all the teams that are set to make the playoffs this year. If you were to look at the standings right now and think about all the teams in this league, all the ones that you take seriously, how many of them don't have a top-flight wide receiver? And then look at Baltimore. Dez Bryant was their leading receiver last week with 4 catches for, I don't even think, 30 yards. Now, other than Mark Andrews, of course, because they're tight end heavy. with him. And he's a talented guy, but I don't think anybody sees him in the realm of Kittle and Kelce in terms of stretching the field. He's just a safety blanket more than anything for Lamar Jackson. But if you look at his receiving talent, he's got Stills and he's got Marquise Brown and he's got these guys that are not very big, that are quick, but he doesn't have that top flight go up and get it guy that I think he needs. And that's maybe what they're hoping Dez could potentially be. I don't know how long the learning curve is to just get back into I can play in the NFL level shape if you're Dez Bryant after being out of the game as long as you were out of the game. But Baltimore's problem starts with the fact, not that Lamar Jackson can't throw. Can't throw is just a loaded phrase. He can throw, but he's not a precision passer. And he's never going to be a precision passer. Because I just don't think that's something you learn. I talked to Michael Vick last week, and one thing he said was he became a better passer when he got in the NFL because he just practiced. But the difference for Vick was really good to begin with. Like he could throw at a mile when he was in college. Nobody didn't think he could throw. Lamar Jackson, that was always sort of the background. That was sort of part of where we were. We know he can throw, but we also know three or four times a game he's going to overthrow a wide receiver. If he hits the aforementioned Mark Andrews on Sunday, maybe they beat the Titans, but he didn't hit that throw. He overthrew a tight end against the Chargers in his first season in the league. And he's going to continue to do that kind of thing because he's not Drew Brees. He's not Kyler Murray. He's not a precision passer. Doesn't mean he can't play quarterback, but it does mean the offense has to be right around Lamar Jackson. And when he doesn't have guys that can get separation, you're limiting him if you're Greg Roman, if you're saying, I don't really want you throwing outside the hash marks. I want you throwing right down the middle of the field. That's how you end up in a game where Marquise Brown has zero catches and is angry for a couple of weeks about his usage rate. These are concerning. These are things that I don't know how fast you can fix them, but if they were playing the Steelers tonight, it was going to be difficult because what it looks like to everybody on the outside is the best thing for the Baltimore Ravens is to get the ball into J.K. Dobbins' hands and let him kind of dictate the offense a bit to hopefully create more space for your wide receivers so that Lamar Jackson doesn't have to hit such a tight window in order to complete balls all the time. Football is a game of space. This is one thing that Clay said, that we said on this program back when I was the executive producer. I don't know how long this show's been going now, but probably 4 years ago now, that football is a game of space. The offense wants to create as much of it as possible, and the defense wants to eliminate as much of it as possible. And the team that does that the most effectively or mitigates the circumstances surrounding that one factor is the team that usually wins the game. If you're not a precise passer, or if you are creating an offense where the receiving talent down the field, the guys that are going to catch the balls, if you're not a precise passer, then what do you need? Well, you need a bigger throwing window. You need more space in which to fit the ball in because it's not going to always be on the back shoulder or maybe never. It's not going to catch these guys in stride. They need to have room to operate to potentially correct for the fact that I'm going to be a half yard off here and there. That becomes the crucial factor. So Greg Roman last year had it rolling and Lamar, you weren't catching up to him. He was able to get to the edge. He was able to do things that just made no sense, and it was because of his incredible athleticism. And they just caught everybody. And this year, and I've heard Robert Mays say this, I've seen Warren Sharp say this, I've seen a lot of different people that I love in this industry that break things down on an X's and O's level in a way that I certainly can't, have said, is the difference this year, I think Nate Tice of The Athletic said this as well, I'm going to give him credit. The difference this year watching the Ravens is watching the defense against the Ravens. That you're not seeing all the motion and the panic and the movement on the defensive side trying to react to what they think that the Ravens are doing with all of their motion pre-snap. Defenses are getting into play calls that they don't have to change. And then they're spying Lamar Jackson with two. And they're playing more man down the field on his receivers and eliminating space. But all of that discombobulation before the snap would lead to 8-yard gains out of nowhere. And the Ravens constantly being ahead of the sticks and just chewing up the field with some mixture of a lot of running and some passing. And this year, defenses are staying home. They are all fixated, eyes on Lamar before the snap, but they're not reacting to whatever Roman is trying to set up beforehand. That's the difference. Watch it on Sunday, assuming this game does indeed get played on time on Sunday afternoon, even though we're not going to see it tonight. Watch that and see, and go back if you can, if you have access to some footage, or if you can just go back and look at some highlights from last year's Ravens game, any of the games that they played, and look at the way teams approach them defensively and how much movement, how much talking is going on before the snap last year compared to this year. This year, Baltimore looks like the team that's a little bit discombobulated before the snap, and that's why you look at a 6-4 team that's kind of on the ropes because there's too many good AFC teams to think that you're going to get a wild card right now. Even at 6-4, you've got to keep winning in order to keep pace, which is why this was seemingly potentially a knockout game for them, even though I think they could finish 11-5 because their schedule is insanely easy after the Steelers game. So we're going to bring in Jeff after the break, and he'll be with me, of course, for the rest of the show. 877-99 on Fox is how you can join this program. That's 996-6369. If you're a Baltimore fan, what are you seeing? Are you worried? And if you're watching outside of Baltimore, do you feel like this whole experiment has kind of come to its end in terms of being anywhere close to the level of dominant and Sermon on the Mount level? Lamar Jackson's the greatest thing other than Patrick Mahomes in this league. Do you feel like that is coming crashing down right now? We'll continue to break all of that down. We will break down the two games that are going to be played today. We're going to talk about why that Baltimore-Pittsburgh game is not being played. Other things happening in college football as well. Just a ton of football on this Thanksgiving to hopefully get you up and get you going here on Outkick the Coverage. Jeff Schwartz, Jason Martin, in for Clay Travis. We'll be right back on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
We're live in the Geico Outkick Studios. I don't know if you own your home, rent your home. Either way, Geico's got you covered. They got it right now. It's really easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. Having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy. So, this is Outkick Coverage. Clay is out for the rest of the week. I'm in today and tomorrow along with Jeff Schwartz. He'll join us here in a second. We're having just a couple of issues getting him with us, but he'll be with us here as soon as humanly possible. So, we're not getting Ravens-Steelers tonight. And it's because of positive tests with the Ravens. An outbreak that kept on getting worse. They added three more guys to the COVID list yesterday. Calais Campbell, who missed the Titans game. Matt Skura and Patrick McCary. So seven players. And then some other staffers as well. And this part is interesting. The Ravens put out a statement a little bit later on yesterday. They didn't name who the staff member was, but they said that this individual has been disciplined, quote, for conduct surrounding the recent COVID-19 cases that have affected players and staff at the Ravens. NFL makes this move. And the reason why this guy has been disciplined, from what we saw in the reports, is he didn't tell anybody what was going on. He wasn't social distancing. He wasn't wearing a mask. And potentially, or maybe certainly, he knew he was positive and still wasn't doing what he was and didn't let anybody know. And now there's an outbreak, and now this game's been postponed. And the Steelers have had this happen multiple times this year. The Titans game, of course, was moved because of Tennessee's outbreak right here in my backyard in Nashville. And notice nobody's really talking about the Titans organization anymore the way that they were at that point in time, where it's throw the book at them, cancel the franchise, $10 million fine, all of this. Because since that point, what we thought was going to happen has happened. Raiders have had multiple outbreaks. We've had stars in this league that have gotten it. Now the Ravens have their outbreak. It was going to happen. There's no sector of the United States that hasn't been hit with the virus. And it doesn't even take being lackadaisical. It's a virus. It's not a DUI. It's not willful negligence all the time or almost never. And mitigation procedures only go so far. Some of us believe that they're a panacea. I'm just not one of those. So the Steelers take the day off. They practiced yesterday. They take the day off for Thanksgiving instead of having to play. And the NFL slate takes a hit. But our sleep schedule takes a little bit. Usually, I think a lot of us, maybe you were going to go into that food coma in the afternoon, wake up and watch the nightcap. And I was, certainly, because we were going to talk about it tomorrow on this show. But you could just go to sleep a little earlier now. And then Sunday, they're putting that in the early window. As it stands now, I think it's 1:15 Eastern time is the kick, and it's still going to be on NBC where it would have been tonight had the game been played on time. But I do think it is fascinating that the Ravens have disciplined somebody within the organization. Ravens play Dallas on December the 3rd. That is a week from today. Dallas is playing today. They have a full week of rest. Baltimore now is going to be put behind the eight ball. And if you test positive, the quarantine period may mean you're still without some guys that you really would otherwise like to be with. And if anybody else tests positive from here on out, it's going to be very difficult to imagine those guys are able to play because of the, especially with the enhanced protocols and everything that's going on. I'm still kind of surprised that we've had as little as we have had in terms of things being tinkered around with. There wasn't a lot of space in which to do it. Games haven't been canceled all that much. And they've been able to continue the season. You look at college football, what is it, like 40-some games that have been postponed or moved just in the past 4 weeks? You've now got Wisconsin, and this is amazing to me. Wisconsin's game against Minnesota this weekend is also canceled. This is the third game Wisconsin has lost due to COVID, and they are now not eligible to play in a Big Ten championship game because of that. The college football season was already going to be a problem. You've got conferences playing seven games and others playing double-digit games. And then you're supposed to tell me how that team that's played less games in a situation where every conference is just playing within the conference and there's not opponents that we have in common that we can look at and say, well, look at what this team did to this team, or look at how this conference is performing against this conference. No, we don't know. We just have to eye test it and say, well, I guess the Big Ten's good, so Ohio State goes here. Or I guess the Pac-12's not good, so throw them out. Or whatever it is. It's just a mess. But the truth of the matter is, it's kind of a mess every year. College football, just the way in which it's done and the way it kind of has to be done, there are some things that could be changed, no question. But there's so many different schools that are out there and so many different kind of the calculus, the math, all of what it is that you have to do can become treacherous to say the least when you're just going to get down to four teams and you're picking those teams. And that's why I think we probably need to move sooner rather than later to an eight team, because then you can get at least all, if it's a power five, how powerful is it if one of them is going to get screwed in the end every year? Sometimes two, if you're taking two from another conference. If there is a such thing as a power five, all of them should probably have at least their champion represented in a college football playoff scenario. And then you do the three at-larges, and then you can have this BYU or Cincinnati or whatever team get in and play against one of the big dogs that actually cares, as opposed to Central Florida going and playing Auburn in the Chick-fil-A Bowl, where Auburn didn't give a rat's ass, basically, because they had dreams of being in a much bigger game that then fell apart because of injury or whatever. Central Florida goes the opposite way. So this would enable you to put a team like that in. All the people that are crying about BYU, BYU's 14th because their schedule is truly atrocious. Truly atrocious. Between them and Cincinnati, Cincinnati has a better schedule, and neither one of them is going to get an opportunity to play in a college football playoff. I talked to Andy Staples, The Athletic, yesterday, and he's like, BYU and Cincy need to schedule a game together right now so that they can just have the knockout round, and then you can move forward from there. I think we got Jeff. Jeff,
I'm here.
You with us?
You got me?
Hey, how about that?
Hey, yeah, hey. Woo!
Woo, radio.
Thanksgiving. Yes, let's do it. How we doing today? I had a great opening quip to go to you, Jason, about your coffee drinking habits, because last time we talked to you, you were being very snippety about your lack of coffee. And today's Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And I'm just worried you haven't gone your Starbucks yet. And I was very concerned that you were not able to start your day off right. And I was going to be, I had this great opening. I planned it, everything was ready to go. And then just didn't happen.
No, it did not. I do not have Starbucks. I'm not even sure if one is open yet. I made a couple of Nespresso pods at the house, and that's what's sitting next to me right now in the studio. And I do that most of the time during the week. Like, people are like, oh, you shouldn't go to Starbucks. You should make your own. It's like, I do make my own when I go back home after the show. In order for me to do the, I don't want to get too deep into the weeds here because five people care right now, but the pour over method that I use, the Chemex and all, and weighing out the beans and everything, like, it's part of my daily routine, but it's usually post workout. When I get home, I do that, and then I sit down with a couple of cups of coffee, but that does take some time and a little bit. I use a calculator sometimes and things of that nature. So I'm not doing that at 4 in the morning. It's just not going to happen.
Your come up, Jason, in life has been quite remarkable. I knew you at maybe not your lowest time, right? But like you were a different guy back when we met. And now look at you, man. You're weighing out coffee beans and using calculators to make your coffee. You have made a come up in life, buddy. Good for you.
Yeah, I now have moved from just having problems to having first world problems. That's been the change. There's just a lot of things that are going on in life. And first world problems, if you're in the NFL, and this is what I talked about in the first segment, Jeff, was Baltimore and Pittsburgh was the game I actually gave a crap about tonight.
Oh, yeah, you're correct.
And now it's gone. Hopefully it will be played on Sunday at 1:15, but before we can get in, and I think we can do a lot of talk about the Ravens on this program and just the AFC as a whole, but
yeah,
the COVID side of this and the fact that the Ravens are saying, yeah, there's an unnamed staff member that's being disciplined for kind of causing all of this. That, to me, is remarkable that the organization's like, yep, our bad. This dude right here, we know somebody that caused all of this.
Well, this is why the NFL is wearing tracking devices, right? And it's why, by the way, that when one player tests positive on a team, they don't have to quarantine an entire position group, right? They don't have to shut down their entire, organization like we see in college football, because they're wearing tracking devices. They have the science that says, hey, man, if you're not within, if you're not near someone for more than 10 to 15 minutes within 6 feet without your mask on, then you don't have to be in quarantine for 14 days, right? But if you're the assistant strength coach, that's who they reported it was, and you're not wearing your tracking device, you're not reporting your symptoms, then yeah, that's a problem. And they're able to track you through the facility, and they're able to discipline you. And this is not good, because they have protocols in place to make it through the season. This is an important game. It's not like the Jets and Broncos, no offense to you, like not Broncos, Jets and whoever, Jets and,
yeah,
and,
right.
and Bengals are playing each other, right? Like this game matters. It matters for the playoff seedings. It matters for the AFC North. And you don't want to make this a standalone game in week 18, right? You don't want to have everyone else off and have to make Pittsburgh and Baltimore play each other. So you want to get this game in, whether today or whether Sunday. So I hope they discipline him because everyone else is doing their part, right? Everyone else is doing their job, except now it appears the Ravens this week did not do what they're supposed to do. And I feel bad for the Steelers. Steelers have been have done everything right this season, and they keep getting the short end of the stick with their games being moved. And, you know, they won't make excuses, right? Tomlin won't make excuses for this, but the players have every right to be upset. They had a three-day weekend coming up, but I was told they were supposed to get Monday and Tuesday off, too. They're going to get 5 days off after they play the Ravens tonight, and that's not happening anymore.
No, it is not. And then, of course, the Ravens have to play the Cowboys on Thursday Night Football next week. So the Cowboys are going to have a full week after playing Washington this afternoon, and the Ravens are going to have a pretty quick turnaround. Not that it, I mean, there are teams that play Sunday to Thursday, so it's not like the end of the world, but it's not the expected rest that you were anticipating if you were Baltimore to prepare for that game. And the weird thing about the East, and I said this off the top of the show, Jeff, is as garbage as this whole division is, these games all matter because all these teams have a chance to win the division. That's just unbelievable to me.
It really is remarkable, and you know, I actually think that the division winner is going to play tonight. Is the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, so do I.
If you look at it's merely just one position and the schedule. So it's Andy Dalton, right? He is the best quarterback in this division when healthy. He's better than Daniel Jones. There's no question, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's better than Alex Smith. Who Alex Smith has done a better job than I thought, but he's better than Alex Smith. He's better than Carson Wentz right now, who I don't even know. I have no idea. Carson Wentz is like, he's broken. He's just broken. And their schedule. So they have Washington today, who they're 3-point favorites. They go to Baltimore. That'd be really tough, right? Thursday night. But then it's Bengals, Niners, Eagles, Giants. Six wins will get you the division. And they need to win three of the next six games. Washington, Baltimore, Cincinnati, San Francisco, Philly, and New York. Now, if they lose all the division games but beat Baltimore, Cincinnati, and San Francisco, they're probably not going to win the division. They need a division win here at some point. But they could get there with six wins because the Eagles' schedule is absolutely brutal. It's like Saints and Cardinals, and it's Seattle on their schedule, obviously, Monday night. The Giants' schedule is a little bit easier, but I don't really trust the Giants. I think that's proven why. I just don't. Mm-hmm. I don't trust them. And the Eagles are just. And Washington has a decent schedule too, but Alex Smith is like up and down. I don't really know if they're the team, but I think it's Dallas.
I mean, I think you're right, and I think that statement before we get to Finley, and we'll talk about the Eagles, I think, before the end of the show too. Amazing, a healthy Andy Dalton is the best quarterback in a division that has Carson Wentz. Where like 2 years ago, Carson Wentz is on the cusp of being a top five quarterback in all these articles. And I even had him near my top five. He might be done, Jeff. Like his confidence looks totally shot right now.
I think that the tough part for Eagles fans is if you go and you trust people to watch the film, right? Brian Baldinger, who does a great job. He's in Mount Laurel, so he coached with the Eagles. You know, Dan Orlovsky, who was close enough to the Eagles that he almost took a job there this offseason, right? Like, he knows what's happening there as well. So you have both those guys, and they both explain different problems on the offense, right? One is and, you know, Dan is a little, you know, he sides a little bit with Carson Wentz. He's like, look, the offensive line, the blocking, the wide receivers, that's wrong. And then you have Baldy, who's like, well, Carson Wentz is wrong. There's not even a clear answer to what the problem is in Philly. That's the problem. There's no clear answer to what's happening in Philly. And if you're an Eagles fan, that has to be a bad feeling. Because I could tell you what's wrong in other places, right? The Bengals, and their offensive line is terrible, right? Like Baltimore, and we'll talk about them. Their offense is kind of blah now. I could tell you the exact problem with their offense. The offensive line, you know, Lamar Jackson play calling, boom, boom, boom. The Eagles, there's no exact answer.
No.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Welcome back. We're in the Geico Outkick Studios on this Thanksgiving Day. Jeff, are you frying a turkey today?
Oh, I am, buddy. I will be done with this. We're done at 9 a.m. Eastern. I'll go get a quick Peloton ride in, and then I will. I've decided to do lunch today. We're doing Thanksgiving lunch because a buddy of mine said he rented out an entire theater tonight just for him and a family that's actually not even in town anymore. So I might go see a movie tonight. I guess. I don't know.
All right.
He said National Lampoon, Christmas Vacation, or Elf. I guess it depends on which one I'll bring my kids. National Lampoon, I will not. If it's Elf, I will. And so I want to do lunch. And then I have, you know, you have Thanksgiving for dinner and then for lunch tomorrow. And then I love the sandwich tomorrow. It's like my favorite part about Thanksgiving.
Right. Sure. Well, the theater thing is interesting. I'm seeing theaters doing that across the country. They're trying to stay afloat right now. And that announcement that Wonder Woman's going to go drop on HBO Max on Christmas Day, in addition to theaters, whatever theaters are open, Wonder Woman 1984 hits HBO Max the same day, and it's Christmas Day. That right there, to me, when I saw that, I thought that might be the death knell for movie theaters. Like that right there was going to be the boon to get people back, and I thought the film was going to get pushed back to like the summer, but no. I think the movie industry a year from now may be gone entirely in terms of being able to go to a movie theater the way that we're accustomed to.
I think that if we can get the vaccine out, if all the news is accurate and it gets out on time, you know, I think by spring we'll have life starting to get back to normal, right? I mean, I think like maybe if movie theaters can make it till the next summer, which I know summers are not great for movies, but if we can get to like the summer, maybe it should be good. It might be good, I guess. I don't know. So I don't know. I hope it's fine. I'm not a big movie guy. Like I've been to the theater. The last movie I saw was Uncut Gems. I saw it by myself in the middle of the day.
Yeah, I imagine you didn't take your children to that one.
No, I needed a break from work, and I had a couple hours, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go see a movie. It was the first movie I'd seen in a theater in, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, maybe.
Yeah, I know you're not a big movie guy. Maybe you watch one on an airplane here and there or something like that, but the problem for the theaters is just, the last I looked, they were like, you have 60 days until we're bankrupt. They've had to shut back down because the reopening didn't work. People weren't coming out in the same numbers. And when I went to a few of these things, I went and saw Tenet. I saw the Inception 10th anniversary event. I went to some of the 15 cent ones, a couple of the old ones. We went and saw Back to the Future again because I'm always going to do that. And I really wasn't too concerned about it. But I will say that when you limit capacity the way they limited capacity, there's only like 6 people in a theater. And I don't understand how you keep the doors open with the lights on and everything else. Like, I don't see how it's even possible at that point to be able to profit. I feel like you're losing money just being open.
Oh, you probably are. I mean, that's the sad part is that, like I said, I hope that the vaccine can accelerate the reopening of our country, essentially, right? Like having So I'm hopeful that will be the case. And like you said, maybe by the spring, movie theaters are back. Are you looking? I know we have a couple seconds here. Are you looking forward to the new Wonder Woman?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's supposed to be good.
It's not really supposed to be political or anything like that. It's just supposed to be a good. Just like the reason the first one worked the way that it did. I mean, the casting was solid, but generally speaking, it was superhero films getting back to what you want a superhero film to be, which is a positive experience where you're able to root for the hero. It's not like a shade of gray here. It's just, hey, you know, Wonder Woman's kick ass. You can get behind her. Your kids can look at her and say, hey, you know, that's somebody I would aspire to be. And that right there made it a kind of, hey, USA, it wasn't really about the country. It was just a positive vibe. And the second one looks like it has that too. And it coming out on Christmas, a lot of people are going to be sitting at home on Christmas watching that. HBO Max, it's going to be big for them. We'll be right back.